Well, good evening. Once again, turn to Leviticus. We continue in Leviticus this week in chapter 2. Chapter 2, we will be talking about the bread of life. Actually, we will be studying really an interesting sacrificial offering referred to as the grain offering. In your Bibles, it may read meat offering or meal offering, but it's basically a grain offering being constituted of flour and oil, and in some cases, frankincense. We will be looking at, among other things, what is it? What is this offering? What's it stand for? We'll be looking at the ingredients, what's in the offering. Also, we'll review what is the or are the involvements of the priests in this offering. And finally, the last two things, which I think will be most meaningful to you, insights about this offering and the importance of this offering for each of us. So let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2. And before we read the Word of God, let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to once again open your Word and study your Word. And tonight, as we are given the grain offering as the second sacrifice discussed in the book of Leviticus, help us to understand the importance of it. What does it mean to us, and what should we do with it, Lord, as far as worshiping you and giving you praise and thanksgiving with it? So guide us and open our hearts, and Holy Spirit, only you can teach us what we need to hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, reading from the New King James Translation, the grain offering. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. And if you bring an offering, a grain offering, baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord, and when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads, and you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Well, once again, we have much detail given regarding this sacrifice. And as I mentioned, it's usually referred to as the grain offering because it is made from fine flour, isn't it? But your translation may have meat offering or meal offering. So use whichever term makes the most sense to you based on your translation. Just a review of the book of Leviticus. The Hebrew name, as we mentioned last session, if you were here, is Vayikra, which means, and he called, or and the Lord called. And that points to the fact that the theme of the book is a call to holiness. It's also the first three words of the book of Leviticus. We were reading in Exodus that the tabernacle was completed. They did the various things they were supposed to do, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And we go right on into Leviticus, and he called, and he called. The key verses in Leviticus are verses in chapter 11, 44, and 45, and chapter 19, verse 2. Those verses, very familiar, as there's a phrase in those verses used 8 times in the Bible. And that is, be holy, for I am holy, or be ye holy, for I am holy, depending on your translation. The word holy, one of the key words in this book, is used over 90 times, over 90 times. The word cleansing is used over 70 times. Unclean, over 120 times. So we see it's a book of clean and unclean. It's basically a book calling us to holiness. We also see the term the Holy One of Israel, although that is not found here. It's found 30 times in, and it's not found in this chapter, it's found 30 times in the book of Isaiah alone. So the Holy One of Israel, holiness, so important, so important. We know that the gold plate on the turban of the high priest said what? Holiness, holiness to the Lord. So we see in Leviticus a call to holiness. We also mentioned that the time period, the chronological time period, during the time this was written is about a month, because we have in the last chapter of Exodus the date given as the first day of the first month, the second year, and in the first chapter of Numbers we have the date given as the first day of the second month of the first year after the Exodus. So we have about 30 days maximum that this was written, all written at Mount Sinai. So as I mentioned, it is a call from God to us to be holy. It's a call to God for you and I to be holy. The phrase, I am the Lord, appears 46 times in the book. The book attributes more of its material to God as the speaker than any other book in the Bible. 38 times it says, and God spoke. So when God speaks, we want to listen, don't we? Now, as I mentioned, we can easily break this book down into two segments. The first 16 chapters, it covers our way to God is by sacrifice. Sacrifice has always been the way to God and always will be. The last 11 chapters are about our walk with God by sanctification or through sanctification. Now, the first section where we're in today is regarding the requirements of sacrifice. In the first 7 chapters, we will be in the requirements of sacrifice. The first 3 offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the drink offering, all are about our dedication, your dedication, my dedication to God. So these should speak to us loudly and clearly with regard to our dedication to God. Basically, we will be looking at a presentation to God of all that we are and all that we have. You know, Paul said in Romans 12, 1, 2, those verses which I know you're familiar, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So we have first in these offerings of dedication to God, our dedication to God, a presentation to him of all that we are and have. Also, these three offerings, burnt offering, meal offering, and drink offering, are actually a proof that you and I are thankful to God for all that he has provided for us. Turn back to chapter 6 of Leviticus. In this chapter 6, we have a short section here on the law of the grain offering, and it may be helpful for us to understand this a little bit better. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 14, we'll read to verse 23. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil, and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat. With unleavened bread it shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord, beginning on the day when he is anointed, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it at night. It shall be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to the Lord. The priest from among his sons, who is anointed in his place, shall offer it. It is a statute forever to the Lord. It shall be totally or wholly burned, for every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly or totally burned. It shall not be eaten. So there we have the proof, basically, of thanksgiving, why we're offering this grain offering to the Lord, because he is so good, and we want to give him thanks. Turn back to Numbers 28. We have another commentary here on the grain offering in Numbers, and all of these go together, it seems to me, to give a little greater picture of it. So look at the first. We're going to look at the first 9 verses of chapter 28 in the book of Numbers. You'll see the grain offering and the drink offering here, which we're going to be talking about today, included in the daily offerings. This summarizes the daily offerings here in these 9 verses. Numbers 28, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say to them, My offering, my food for my offerings made by fire is a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, This is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord. 2 male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma. That's where we are tonight, at Mount Sinai, in the Leviticus study. Which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering, you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So we see these offerings here mentioned, burnt offering, meal offering, drink offerings, to be presented to the Lord and to give thanks to the Lord, to be thankful to the Lord. So thinking of this just briefly, what my question to you would be, how thankful are you to the Lord? How often and how long, so to speak, do you spend time with the Lord just thanking Him, just praising Him, just fellowshipping with Him? Do you spend any time just thanking Him, or are your prayers usually, give me this, give me that, Lord, I've got a problem, help me out of this, help me out of that? Now, we do want to ask for these things, but we also want to make sure we're spending time giving Him thanks. That's what these sacrifices show us. So those are the first three offerings, our dedication to God, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the drink offering. Now, a little later on, next week, we'll get into the dependency upon God in the peace offering. That'll show us how we need Him and how we depend on Him, the peace offering. And then there's two more after that, which are the deliverance by God, and that's the sin offering and the trespass offering. So we'll get into those in a couple in 3 or 4 weeks. So we've looked at the requirements of sacrifice, as to the dedication, as to our being dependent on the Lord and the Lord delivering us. Now let's get into today's study, really, of the offering called the grain offering. Well, what is it? What's it consist of? We see fine flour, oil, and frankincense. Well, what is that? It's basically bread, isn't it? Bread is flour with oil. The Hebrew word for this offering is minkah, used a couple hundred times in the scriptures, 34 times in Leviticus alone. It normally refers to a bloodless offering, but I want to call your attention to its first use in Genesis chapter 4. So we go all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 4, and we have this statement as of the first offerings that Cain and Abel offered. And you will remember the story, of course, that God accepted Abel's offering, but Cain's was not accepted. And, of course, Cain got so mad that what? He went out later and killed Abel. But here is a term which I want to call your attention to. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the word offering is used three times in those three verses, and the word in every case is minkah. So we could read it this way, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought a minkah of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his minkah, but he did not respect Cain and his minkah. So it's interesting that the first use in the Bible there for the word minkah, which means offering, it covers both blood and bloodless, because we know that Abel's offering was not a bloodless offering. But normally, in the Hebrew, it refers to bloodless offerings. So we have a minkah here, which is basically bread, flour, and oil, and it's specified it can be prepared in three ways. It can be baked in an oven, as we see the first description given here for us. Secondly, it can be fried in a griddle, so it can be baked or fried. And thirdly, it can be cooked in a pan. So God gives the three ways that it can be prepared. Now, we will notice that there is the word memorial portion given here. Memorial portion, that is basically the portion given to the Lord. The priests offer it for service when they're anointed, but they don't eat any of it for themselves when they're being anointed. After that, when they're offering this offering for you or for I or somebody who would bring it, they would give a portion to the Lord as a memorial portion. They have that option of deciding themselves how much to give to the Lord. And then the rest of it they would keep for themselves, and they and the males in their family could eat it. It was considered most holy to eat, and the priests would have to eat it. A requirement to eat it was in the tabernacle, so they didn't take that portion home. Later in the offerings, we will see them being given meat in the sin and trespass offering, But those offerings could be taken home for the whole family, which was the meat portion. But here is unleavened bread, and it's to be eaten only by the priests and the males in the tabernacle. So the identity of the offering is basically bread, basically bread. Well, what's in this offering? What are the ingredients? And we'll look at what's in it and what's not in it, because I think both are important. We read that when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. So right in the very first verse here, we have the ingredients consisting of fine flour, oil, and frankincense. I believe that we can see the humanity of Jesus Christ in this offering. And I believe the first thing we see here is in the fine flour. What is fine flour? In those days, they didn't have the mills that we have today to make total powder out of grain as the flour that you see today. But they would put it in a mortar or pestle or in a grinder kind of a thing with a millstone, and they would crush it. And obviously, if it's crushed a while, it has a lot of big chunks in it. To get it fine, you have to really work it. You really have to work all of the big parts out of it. So this is fine flour. This is the best you can get. It's pure, and that would be indicative of what we would offer to the Lord, wouldn't it? So the first major ingredient here in the grain offering is grain, or the meat offering as you may have it in your old King James. Meal offering is another translation. But in the grain offering, which we're talking about today, the major ingredient is fine flour. Now it says you shall pour oil on it here, and later it will say mixed with oil. And some have asked the question, well, which is it, pour or mix? I think we'll see as we look at the text carefully that it's both. You mix the flour with oil, but you also anoint it by pouring oil over it. Now also it says put frankincense on it. So you put frankincense on it. And we will see, though, as we go to the next verse, in verse 2, he, the one who's making the offering, shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So here we have all of the frankincense being offered on the memorial portion only. Well, why is that? Well, this is being offered to the Lord as a sweet aroma. Now, does frankincense have an aroma or what? Is frankincense that good to eat? I don't think so. But it does smell good, doesn't it? It has a very distinctive smell. And as a matter of fact, what was one of the main requirements in the tabernacle at the altar right before the veil going into the Holy of Holies was what? The altar of incense. And incense was supposed to be burned there continually, wasn't it? As those of you who were with us when we went through the book of Exodus and were looking at that. So all of the frankincense is to be offered on the memorial portion. Now, once again, in just review, first degree it was fine flour. That word in the Hebrew is soleth. Soleth, it means equivalent for an animal, it would mean without blemish. You know, every time we have an animal sacrifice, the animal has to be without blemish, right? And here the grain is also, in effect, to be without blemish, because that word soleth is equivalent to without blemish in the case of animals. So fine flour, picturing our Lord, isn't it? Next is the oil. That's probably olive oil, because olive oil was present in that time and was considered to be very valuable. And it was always a symbol in the Scriptures, what? Of the Holy Spirit. And when we see pouring oil upon it, we think of the baptism or being led by the Spirit, don't we? And we know how that was such an important part of our Lord's ministry and such an important part of our ministry. So frankincense as I mentioned, that would not have come from Israel. That would have been purchased from other countries, and it was a very expensive item. So we give the Lord the best here in this grain offering in terms of fine flour, olive oil, and frankincense. Now, what wasn't there? Well, we see there's no leaven. No leaven. Verse 11 says, "No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire." So, we see there's no leaven and no honey. Why do you think that would be? Well, we're picturing purity here. Leaven is always a picture of sin, isn't it? So if we're offering a pure offering here, we could not have leaven in it. The same reason that God gave the children of Israel the command when they left Israel not to take leavened bread with them, to take unleavened bread. And when you and I celebrate communion, we always celebrate it with unleavened bread, don't we? Indicating and signifying freedom from sin, lack of sin. But why honey? Why no honey? Wouldn't honey taste good? This honey probably is not bee honey. It's probably the honey made from dates. And we can have fermentation and decay setting in with honey very quickly. And we want to make sure nothing here in this grain offering tends toward any pollution or any fermentation or any decay whatsoever. Now, the last ingredient further emphasizes that, because that's what? That's the use of salt. 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 Salt is to be used in every grain offering. Well, why salt? Well, salt provides seasoning, doesn't it? Salt provides preservation. We also know that we see in the scriptures of covenants with God sealed with salt. Covenants with God sealed with salt. Those covenants would have the characteristics of purity, wouldn't they? Because salt doesn't change, it stays pure. They would have the characteristics of being long-term or enduring, because the long-lasting aspect of the salt preserving. And then they would be of great value, because salt was of great value, is of great value. So the ingredients in the fine flour, the olive oil, the frankincense, and the salt, that constitutes the grain offering as specified here in chapter 2 of Leviticus. Okay, so we talked about the identity of the offering, basically bread. It could be baked or fried or cooked. A portion of it was to be given to the Lord as a memorial portion, the rest to be eaten by the priests if it was not their own dedication time, of which none was to be eaten by them. Then we talked about the ingredients of the flour and the oil, frankincense, and salt. Next, how are the priests involved in this offering? And as we think of this, think in terms of you and I being priests. Are we not priests? Are we not members of the royal priesthood? Does not the New Testament say that? For you are all priests, members of the royal priesthood? Yes. So, being priests, we need to pay attention to what's said here about the involvement of the priests in the offering. Well, let's read verse 2. "He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn. The priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord." So the priest is to burn it as a memorial. Well, what does this really mean? Well, I think it's important to look at the word memorial as to what it is means and how it's used. In the Hebrew, it's yazkara, and it basically means remembrance. Used 7 times in the Bible, 6 times in Leviticus, and once in Numbers. So we're talking about a remembrance here. Does this not sound familiar with communion, our communion with bread and water, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ? And we have a memorial of communion, don't we? Similar to this situation here, offering the grain offering as a memorial or a remembrance. Now, the priests for the typical grain offering would eat the remnant of the offering. They would eat what was left over, what was not given to the Lord in the memorial. Now, an interesting part of the text here to me is that There's no specification for the amount that's to be given to the Lord in the term, in the form of the memorial portion. And so I believe it's up to the priest to determine this, and how much would the priest give? Well, it seems like if you had an on-fire young priest just beginning his ministry, he might want to give half of it, really, or maybe even more than half. But maybe somebody who's been through some tougher times might want to hold on and keep almost all of it. There were some rules of thumb, apparently, of giving a tenth of it, like a tithe. But that's not specified here. It's just left open. And so, in your case, if you were the priest, how much would you give to the Lord? Or of your things, of your produce, of your blessings and so forth. How much are you giving to the Lord? And it is up to you, isn't it? It's up to us to give hilariously and cheerfully, isn't it? Of our resources and so forth, tithes and offerings, whatever, our time. How much would you give? How much would you say, well, here's a little bit for the Lord and I'll keep the rest? Is that how you're making decisions? Because I think the Lord looks to see how important He is in all aspects of our life, and He wants to see willing giving, doesn't He? Not a legal requirement, but just because we love Him as a sign of our love. So, the memorial portion was to be determined by the priest, and he would break off part of it and give it to the Lord, burning it to the Lord as a memorial, as a sweet-smelling savor, and the rest would be eaten by the priests. Now, I mentioned to you, on the day that the priests themselves were anointed for the ministry, they were not to eat any of the offering, but were to give it all in the form of a memorial. But once they were anointed for their ministry as priests, then after that, serving as a priest for others, they would be allowed to keep the remnant to eat themselves. Now, it was to be eaten in the holy place, in the tabernacle only, as we read in Leviticus 6:16. We'll get to there in a few weeks. And it says, all the males may eat it. They're to offer the same grain offering the day they're anointed for the ministry as priests. As we mentioned, that's also in Leviticus chapter 6, and they're not to eat any part of the offering at that time of their anointing. So that's the involvement of the priest, to burn it and to break a portion off and to give it to the Lord as a memorial. Well, let's look at the insights about this offering. What do we see in this offering that's important to us as priests and as believers? Well, first, I think the grain offering points us to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John 6 and see if you don't see that very clearly in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 really speaks of Jesus as being what? The bread of life, or the grain offering of life. We could say it in that term, couldn't we? So let's begin reading in 35, John 6, 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And then reading on down in verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. So this grain offering definitely points to our Lord Jesus Christ, does it? Does it not? Because he said, I am the bread of life. And this is a grain offering, or we have called it, could call it a bread offering. So it points to Jesus Christ and as a person. I think it also points to purity. It involves purity in that it consists of fine flour, and no leaven or no honey. So we see the purity there, and we see the purity in our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? He who knew no sin was what? Made to be sin on our behalf. So Jesus was pure. So it points us to Jesus Christ as a person. It shows us his purity. And then it illustrates prayer. Well, how does that happen? Well, let's look at this word in the New Testament. The same word taken from the Septuagint from the Old Testament. And let's turn to Acts chapter 10. And we will see how this word is used. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. This is when Cornelius is sending a delegation. Well, let's begin in Acts 10, verse 1 to get the context a little bit more. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. How would you like that as your epitaph? Are you devout? Are you fearing God? Are you giving generously? Are you praying to God always? Beautiful, huh? About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, in verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. There it is. There's the word, memorial or remembrance. It's the same word we have in Hebrew of Ashkara. So we say your prayers and alms have come up for a memorial before God. So we have a tie in there really that is connected and illustrates prayer, the memorial portion, the memorial portion. Look at Psalm 141, verse 2 for just a moment. Psalm 141, verse 2. We read, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare him in my trouble. So we're looking at this memorial, and then we're also looking at the aspect here of the pouring out of the oil on it. I really got that scripture a little bit out of sequence there, because it pictures the power of the Holy Spirit in having the oil poured out on it in the anointing. The pouring out of the anointing. Remember I said that the oil in some cases was mixed, but is also poured on the grain offering as was specified. And so we see the power of the Holy Spirit. We see the power of the Holy Spirit here. Now, looking at a few texts here, you know in Isaiah 61:1, you don't have to turn there because you know it, but Jesus introduced his ministry by saying what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. There we have that same term of pouring out, the anointing. And, of course, we have in 1 John 2:20. In fact, read this verse. I know you know it, but it's worth just looking at it because it's such a wonderful verse involving the Holy Spirit being poured out on each of us, each believer. 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. So here we see the anointing. And in James 4:8, turn back just a couple of books to James. James 4:8. And this ties right into cleanliness in Leviticus here. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So here we have the cleansing and, again, the power of the Spirit here as it cleanses us and empowers us. So we see the purity, we see the prayer, we see the power of the Holy Spirit here, don't we? And then we see the preservation of this offering in the term of use of salt. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13? What? You are the salt of the earth. He's speaking to the disciples, but I think that also fits you and I who are believers and followers of Christ. We should be the salt of the earth. And what does the salt do? Yes, it preserves, doesn't it? In the time of Jesus, that was the main preservative. They didn't have refrigeration, and so salt was used, as it's used today, for preservation. You see dried beef or dried beef jerky, it's got a lot of salt in it, doesn't it? Ham has a lot of salt in it. It preserves it. You are the salt of the earth. So we are to stop the rotting, aren't we, in this world? And if the church was really doing its job, I don't think we'd have quite as much evil as we have, although we know in these end times evil will abound more and more, don't we? Now finally, in addition to purity, prayer, power, and the preservation of the salt, we have a provision of food for God's priests. And this really is in part to the answer to the prayer that Jesus had for the model prayer for us years later. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So my question is, we sum this section up with the memorial where the portion goes to the priest after going to the Lord. Are you offering a memorial portion to the Lord for all that He has done for you? And I believe that should be the fruit of our lips, the offer of our sacrifice of our lips, the praise of our lips, and we being a living sacrifice. Well, lastly, let's look at the importance of this offering, the importance of this offering. In verses 2, 9, and 16, it says pretty much the same. I'll read them. Verse 2 of Leviticus chapter 2. He shall bring it to Aaron's son, the priest, one of whom shall take it from his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Verse 9. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And finally, repeating again in verse 16, the third time, then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of it beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So we see two things here. We see an approval by God, and we see Him accepting this offering. The approval by God is to burn it as a memorial on the altar. It is an offering by fire. And so we see burn the memorial portion in verse 16, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So we see the approval of God rising up from the burnt sacrifice. And of course, with you as being a priest, offering your life as a living sacrifice, are you receiving the approval of God? Would the fire of God's approval come upon your memorial offering as for your own life? And then lastly, we see not only the approval by God, but the acceptance by God, because it says it is offered to the Lord as a sweet aroma to the Lord. Remember last week in the burnt offering, when we talked about offering the fat and the blood, we were talking about the fat being offered as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And my question last week will be the same as tonight. How do you smell? How is your aroma? Do you have a thankful heart? Is there proof in your life that you're grateful for everything God has done for you? You know, Revelation tells us that He is worthy to receive all honor, power, and glory, for He has created all things, and for His good pleasure they were and are created. That's why you're created. That's why I'm created. Are we bringing our Lord pleasure? Are we offering Him thanksgiving? Let's offer our grain offering to Him today. And let us offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, which Paul exhorted us in Romans chapter 12, 1. Again, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for chapter 2, the second of the offerings, the grain offering. Lord, help us to remember it's an offering given to you, just to give you something, Lord, not to take anything back, but just to be giving to you. We want to give you our thanks. We want to give you our whole heart. We want to give you our whole body. And we just want to praise your name. We want to worship you, Lord. And so help us to remember what the priests did is they would burn this offering, a memorial portion, all going to you, including the incense, which was really a part of the good smell. Baking bread is always a good smell, but incense with it as it burns would be even better. Lord, help our lives to have a sweet aroma in your nostrils. Bless each one here, and may they be blessed because they heard your word. And if there's parts of this that are still not clear, oh Holy Spirit, straighten it out in our minds. And we just want to offer our thanks to you with a whole heart, giving you thanks for all things. Thou art worthy, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.